Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. I can see the words up behind you, or you might want to turn in your Bible. That's up to you. There's not a lot of notes that'll be on the screen today. They're mostly what are in your bulletin already. But Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. And would you please stand and let's read these together. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we come to you this morning grateful that you are a God that does new things. Your mind is so far beyond us, Lord. We want you to just do the old stuff, even the Christian stuff you've done in us, but you have new things in mind because you are the God who made us at the beginning. You looked at it and you said, man, that's good. And you said, I want to continue to weave new things into my sons and daughters. And through them, to display the new thing that I'm doing in my kingdom to a world that needs new things and a new kingdom. So we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us by your Holy Spirit. That we thank you, Lord, for that we could get out this morning in the snow. We pray for those who I may be stuck inside. We pray that we would know your blessing, that they would too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So last week, we had a fun time after the service. We took down all the Christmas decorations, put them up, a lot of them up in the attic. And then we had some pizza afterwards. We had a grand time. It was really fun. All ages, how many were in on that? It was a lot of fun. Sad thing is, a lot of folks won't get their Christmas decorations down for a really, really long time. Some next July, there's going to be a tree out on the stoop or on the street. We're going to be driving by, and there's that old tree. And not looking too good anymore, but, it finally got out there. After all these months of just leaving those old Christmas decorations up, they finally got out and put away. Sad thing is that often in our lives, we're kind of like those old Christmas decorations that we just never get rid of the old to let in the new. Statistically, we're really a lot like the world around us. Study after study after study, they study Christian people compared to everybody else. And there's like some little narrow differences, but the way that we handle our marriages and divorces, the way that we handle our money, the way that we care for the poor or not, the way that we care for those that are different than us, those maybe that are new to this country, not a whole lot of difference. The way that we get along, not a whole lot of difference. The way that we handle ourselves in the bedroom, not a whole lot of difference, guys and gals. It's really sad, but we look a lot like the world around us. And in our churches, we go through change like everybody else does. But if you look at the ways that we handle things, we're not a whole lot different than people around us. We stop talking to each other sometimes, or we just take our toys and we go home, or sometimes we holler and scream at each other. Sometimes we even divide churches or Bible study groups, it's not a whole lot different than how we handle change at work or at school or in the neighborhood, in the community. We're like a bunch of these old trees. A.W. Tozer, one of the writers from our movement, put it like this. He asked, what did you do differently last week than you would have done if you had not been a Christian? How do you live differently every day, he asked. We talk about love, but how much did you spend on yourself and how much did you give away? We talk about sacrifice, but did you sacrifice riding in a big car? He wrote in the days of big cars. Did you give up sleeping on a beauty rest mattress and eating three times a day? Any sacrifice? What are we doing that we would not be doing if we were not Christians? What is the difference? I'd like to know if there is a difference. Is Jesus Christ simply the boutonniere on a human lapel, something nice, something pretty? Is Christianity just a decoration, or is there reality back of it? Much of Christianity in our time is simply a lovely symbol. There's no living reality back of it. A man's supposed to be a Christian, but push him through and push him enough and he goes to pieces. Many Christians live a Christian life. They're born again. They carry the Bible translation du jour. They attend Bible conferences. They're part of a religious life of their day. But when the pressure's on, religion goes one way and they go another. Kind of sad. But that's the way that it was in Paul's day for the Ephesians. And so here they were in a very cosmopolitan society, but they were really blending into that society. Now it's a big city. And they'd come from all kinds of backgrounds, many of them Gentiles, and they were just living like the Gentiles around them. They were struggling to break out of the old thing. And here Paul is in Rome, over chained, maybe to the wall or maybe to the prison guard. And he says, guys, I want you to remember who you are. First half of this book, he says, remember your identity in Christ. But then in the second half of this book, he's saying, remember what this means for how you live. Last week, we talked about using our gifts for the body of Christ. And we ended the service talking about how what God does in us and through us is he helps us to love one another. And we sang at the top of our lungs, they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. But today we look at we continue on. We talk about the new thing that Christ wants to do in us that's different than the old thing. Because the truth of the matter is that we are experts in the old thing. We're experts in how everybody always lives. Because we're good at it ourselves. When our kids were little, we lived in Maine. We went on vacation in northern Maine, and Maureen, I think, was back at the cabin with whoever the latest baby was. And my boys, we have three boys and a daughter, one of their earliest memories was what happened on that day. And so there was a peninsula. Right by, we were by the ocean, a peninsula. I took our minivan. You know, we had lots of minivans. Drove up that peninsula, and it was a skinny peninsula. And on the one side was the ocean, and in between the road and the ocean was a little bit of woods. And I parked the car and I said, "Hey guys, let's go out for a walk." And they were young enough so that I remember putting one of them on my shoulders. We went out in the woods, and I thought, well, let's go see the ocean. And we got lost in the woods. We're wandering around. I couldn't find the ocean. And then I couldn't find the road. And then I started to get started to panic. And they remember as little guys, their dad panicking because it was starting to get darker and darker. And I didn't know where I was. Lord, I prayed, and we eventually found the ocean, and we found the road, and we, you know, here I am today, and they're where they are, and I'm very grateful for that. But Paul says in our natural that the world around us is lost. Lost in the woods. It's cut off from the life of God, the one who gives our world, it gives people in this world their purpose in life. And since they don't know him, they are wandering around thinking that there's more to life, but they're just they're lost, and they're frustrated, and they're scared, and things are getting darker and darker and darker, and they start to panic because they can't find the way out. And then when they continue wandering around. And then Paul says that they get calloused. And they get used to wandering around. So, you know, you've got that tool at home. Maybe it's a rake, and maybe you're raking all summer long. And at the beginning of the summer, or, you know, you're feeling, you know, it's maybe wearing your hand away. And maybe you come up with a blister. You know, like I had a couple weeks ago, but then after a while, by the end of the summer, it's calloused. You don't even feel it going through your hands anymore. But your hand, wherever you're holding on to that rake, is like leather. And Paul says that's the kind of thing that's going on with the world around us. As they're wandering around, and they get used to being lost. And they can't feel the pain anymore. But they're wondering why it's getting harder and harder and harder to even think about their purpose in life. And so they begin to do things that aren't good for themselves to try and feel some meaning in life. And so they might get addicted to this or to that. They begin to center their lives on themselves, and they say, you know, life is all about me, and it's about how I feel. And if I just take these substances, or if I get involved in this illicit behavior, or if I just accumulate more stuff, then it's going to feel better, and I'll get out of this fog that I'm in. But it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the terrible thing about it is way back in the Garden of Eden. You remember what happened when we deceived ourselves and how people began to turn against each other. And that's what happens when we center our lives around ourselves and these addictions come our way and we focus everything on us. It's then that we're hard to live with. And whether we have the very much in the world or very little in the world, if life is all about us, then nobody wants to be around us. Some of the wealthiest people in the world are the loneliest people in the world because they have centered everything around themselves. But some of the poorest people in the world, it's the same thing. It's centered around themselves. Sometimes it doesn't have to do with how much you have or how much you don't have. But if you center your life around yourself, then nobody wants to be with you. And then people that you're with, if they're doing the same thing, then you're a lot of fun. You're a really fun bunch to be around. But the sad thing is, when we keep going down that road, when it just becomes destructive and destroys other people. So you think about the Me Too movement and how those men destroyed young women. Or this gal that was abducted in Wisconsin over the last number of months. And thank the Lord that they found her. But what was it about? It was about some guy, 21-year-old guy, that said, well, life is about me. And satisfying my needs, and I don't care about anyone else. And therefore, for the grace of God, go us. And we go there, we can go there maybe in lesser ways. But when life is all about us, it's ugly. And that's the way that the world lives and has lived for centuries. Jacob was that way. Jacob deceived his dad. He deceived his brother, and he went off running out into the wilderness, running for his life. And it was all because he decided that life was about him, and he got his mother to agree with him. And he destroyed his family. He destroyed a good part of his life until he got right with the Lord. And Paul says, stop living like the world around you. You've been saved from this. It's not about you. Stop walking this way and start walking that way. That's what he says at the beginning of these verses. He said, that God has done something new in you. Because how Jesus people live is different. You're living like Christ. He said, if you know Jesus, and I believe that you do, he said, then Christ, who is focused on others and focused on this world, has called you to live like he does. Like you learned about in looking at his life in the Gospels. Like you learned about in looking at his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount and other places, and is extended into the other writings of Scripture, which we know in the end came by him. You're living out his life as you follow him in your relationship with him, as Christ has come, just not someone that you learn about, but someone that comes and lives within you, so that you live out his truth in this world. He said, what I'm asking you to do, Paul says, is to put off your old self. That old self that's really not who God made you to be, but an old self that is created around lies and is lost and is aimless in life and is being recreated in the image of Christ to be made into something new. Put it off. Put off those lies. Put off that life that is centered around yourself and indulging yourself and perhaps addicted to things that are just trying to put off the pain because you've been naturally calloused and it's messed up those relationships because you've made life. You listen to the lies of the world around you and you said that life is all about me and not about him. That's what Jacob learned to do. And so Jacob, you remember, after wandering around the desert, running for his life from his brother, one day, brother was coming to down, and the Lord met him halfway, and the Lord wrestled him to the ground, knocked the socket out of his leg. And so he stumbled around, but he stumbled in the Lord's way. He reflected the Lord in that relationship in a time when he could have lost his life. He was reconciled with his brother, and that family was restored. A lifelong pattern, a generational pattern that he inherited of being crooked and of being deceitful. His name meant rascal or deceiver. He was the one who had held onto his brother's leg. We're told when he came out with his twin brother when he was born. The Lord straightened him out as he learned to love his brother because the Lord, who had never left him, loved him. The Lord, Paul calls us to renew our minds, to put on our new selves so that we become like the one who made us, not our fake selves, not that illusion of ourselves that we want to be, but to become more like Christ, who is recreating himself in and through us, the one who is righteous and the one who is holy and who wants to make us like himself, not like we were born, not centered around ourselves, but centered around him and so centered around others. And so what does this look like? It means that we begin by spending time in his word. We focus on his word. We read his word. We study his word. We spend time then with others. Previous verses, he talks about speaking the truth in love. You can't hear the truth in love. You can't speak the truth in love. And we need both and the truth and love without spending time with others. Sometimes it means that we spend time with those who are mentoring us. Sometimes we go to those who might be gifted and trained even to counsel us. Maybe some specialized help that we need to get out of those lifelong patterns and sometimes generational patterns that we come in with, so that we're becoming more and more like Christ. And then it means that we give ourselves over to Him entirely. He says later on in Ephesians that as we surrender ourselves to Him entirely, then He will fill us with His Spirit. And Christ then begins to live His life in and through us in ways that He didn't before, because we've given Him everything that we have to give. Then He gives us more and more of Himself that others might see Him displayed in us. For me, that meant years ago, but then time and time again, surrendering myself to the Lord. It means spending time in His book. It means I've for many years having a relationship with a prayer partner or with a spiritual friend, something I've had to initiate sometimes outside of the church, someone that I can just connect with spiritually on a regular basis. It means being part of another group. Several times initiated men's groups. That's where that 33 group comes out of. I initiated because I needed it. Not because it was something that had to be done in the church, but because it was something that I needed and had to take initiative if it was going to happen. And then spending time with others that love the Lord, spending time, we have an elder group that we initiated. We all need those kind of things. We need to surrender our lives to the Lord. We need to be part of some other group. If there's a group, we got some groups coming up. If what you have doesn't work for you, then start one. And if you need help starting one, let us know. If you want a one-on-one, get together one-on-one with someone. God will lead you in terms of what can make it work, and we want to help you do that as well with children, with all ages, with adults as well, so that we might move ahead in our life with Christ. Maureen and I have some friends, and every year they have a Christmas tree burning. So is that picture there? Look in the back there. That's not them, but I found a picture. But it looked a lot like that. So they had a great big field. They lived out in the woods, but they had a great big field out in the woods. And they tell everybody to gather their trees. And they said, you know, we're probably pyrotechnics or whatever we are, pyromaniacs. They probably were. But they go all over town and they gather trees. And we bring our tree if we had one. And they'd pile them away up in the middle of that field. They'd have hot chocolate. They'd have s'mores. And then they take a torch, and all the trees would burn. And that was the end of Christmas past. It was a month or two into the new year, and it meant that spring was coming. My friends, let's be done with the old. Let's be done with the old. Let's burn it and let it go. And let's help one another. Let's encourage each other so much more as we look forward to the return of our Lord. And let's give ourselves over to Him and to one another, that we might live and exhibit the new life that He has called us to live. I'm going to invite those who will be leading this morning, I think it's Sue, am I right, to come to the front. And would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Oh Lord, we love those old trees. We got all those old memories, Lord. We just cling on to them. But Lord, we admit to you that they're kind of prickly. And those decorations don't look too pretty on them. But Lord, we just cling on to that way. Somehow we just love that lost feeling. But Lord, by faith this morning, we leave it behind. And we focus on the new thing that you want to do. Lord, may we see spring in our lives. May we see spring in our church. May we see spring in your kingdom as we seek you together. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And would you please turn this way? So may we look to you, the one that put us in the starting blocks and the one who welcomes us at the finish line. Lord, may we keep our eyes on you. May we keep running towards you, Jesus. And Lord, as we run, may we become more and more like you. Not because of you, not because of us, because of your grace that is at work in us more and more as we give ourselves more and more to you. Thank you that your grace is inexhaustible. Lord, may that grace overflow for the world around us, a world so desperately in need of seeing you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.